Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
We talk about jobs on this program quite a lot. American workplaces, American workers trying to survive in a tough economy.
Hello? Yeah. Hold on one sec. I don't know. Hold on one second. Do you really have to do that right now?
Yes, I do. I should have done this weeks ago, actually.
Mr. Deckard, I'm sorry about that. What were you... Can you hold on one second? Oh, that's it. Perfect. So what I was saying... Hello? Thanks, Dwight.
Retaliation.
American workers trying to survive each other. Survive their bosses.
Today is diversity day, and someone's going to come in and talk to us about diversity. It's something that I've been pushing, that I've been wanting to push for a long time, and corporate mandated it. And I never actually talked to corporate about it. They kind of beat me to the punch. Those bastards.
Steve Carell there, the famous boss man Michael Scott in the NBC series The Office, which ends today. Although Steve Carell doesn't need to worry about unemployment.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
The whole cast of nasty, petty, creepy American workers at industrial powerhouse, well, actually something short of a Fortune 500 company, Dunder Mifflin Paper, all of them are beloved, and all of them will have jobs after The Office. But as an excuse to solicit your worker wisdom out there, we asked you for some boss stories that might be the basis for a new TV sitcom someday about the weird, wonderful American workplace.
In 1998, I worked for a small company of about 100 people that was run by a man that was so conservative that the female employees were not allowed to wear pants. We had to wear skirts or dresses only, preferably suits. This was 1998, not 1898.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. That would be great. Okay?
My worst boss micromanaged me to the point I stopped trusting myself in my personal life. I got the heck out of there when I realized what was going on.
Good work, Crystal Lynn, there in Fort Worth, Texas. And how about George from Plano? His worst boss denied his employees pay raises because of poor sales, bought a Lamborghini for himself, and blocked off employee parking spots by the front door so he could park it there.
If I had a gun with two bullets and I was in a room with Hitler, Bin Laden, and Toby, I would shoot Toby twice.
No. That's not.
Okay.
You were
all
being
right.
Really funny, and then you went too far.
My worst boss had hidden cameras, microphones, and strategically placed mirrors throughout her boutique. She was rude and demanded that we lie to customers, pushing them to buy more expensive clothing when a cheaper brand looked and worked better. She pitted her employees against each other and encouraged us to report to her anything bad about our coworkers. She had three lovers, although she was married to a great guy. So she was constantly in her office spying on us or carrying on with one of her boyfriends.
Is it your boss spying on you there or just the Obama Justice Department? Here's one last listener story. My worst boss faked a girlfriend and possibly cancer to make me jealous or sympathetic. I guess we know why that listener from Wayne, Michigan didn't want to use his name or her name. Blow the whistle on your boss by calling us. Think of us as the WikiLeaks of the American workplace. I'll be in trouble for that, Shirley. We always want to hear from you, though. You know that. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or reach us on Twitter at The Takeaway.
Oh, my God, Pam. Those make you look so ugly. Pam, in order to get hotter, you take glasses off. You're moving in the wrong direction.
I don't have my contacts.
That's bad. Bounty, I can't even hear you. It's just noise coming out of an ugly scientist.
The Takeaway is supported by the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.